Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We're in the studio with Dee and Janelle, Catherine, and Tori. They've joined us today with Miss Tara and myself, Sandy. And we are talking about Peter's denial and how Jesus told him that he could not follow him where he was going. So we will continue on with Miss Tara.
You know, I think that's important that we know that, because when Jesus did the call of the disciples, and as he was going through, the first two disciples that went up, he invited them. They asked the question, the same question that Peter asks in John 13. It's like, you know, we want to know where you're staying. So Peter's asking, where are you going? And at this point, they've heard, follow me. But now all of a sudden, Jesus has put a stop. Where I'm going now, you cannot follow. He's letting them know they've reached that point where what is about to happen, you cannot do this part. Now, at a later time, you will be able to do it, but right now you cannot. And Peter's not getting it. And so they come, and as we studied last month, they come and they take, you know, a whole bunch happens after that, and they're going to take Jesus to the courtyard, and he goes off, and he is now in the courtyard of the high priest Annas, and before him. And while this is going on, Peter has been following along with behind. And it's really fun. I love how the book of John is the author, and he never really likes to refer to himself by name. He's
that
disciple. He refers himself as that disciple.
The one Jesus
that disciple
loved.
That knew the high priest is how he refers to himself in this passage. But it is John. And so they're going along. And before I give this passage, I want you to visualize this. Okay, so they've taken Jesus into the high court. And the way that this is set up is they have the walls, and there's like an inner courtyard, and then there's a deeper inner part. And Jesus has gone into the deeper part. In the outer courtyard, there's opportunity for people to hang around. And actually, when we were in Israel, a group of us, Jesse and Chelsea and I, we actually went and sat in this courtyard. And it was just sad. You could still feel the sadness in this courtyard. It's crazy. And nobody actually goes and visits this part. It was empty. We were the only tourists. Israel was just like with people, and there was nobody there. It's like not the place to go visit. And so John has gone in, and he's following along. And one commentator said, you can assume he's thinking Peter's with him because they're walking together. And then it talks about John's coming back at the gate to get Peter, and he ends up talking with a slave girl there. And so they are thinking what happened is he's gone on in because he's familiar. He knows the high priest, so he's thinking nothing of it. And all of a sudden he realizes Peter's not with him, so he goes back. And that's what they're thinking happened. So now I'll give us the passage from John 18. We're going to look at verses 15 through 18, and then we'll go also verse 25 through 27. Okay. And this all happens in that one evening. So Simon Peter's following Jesus and another disciple. The disciple that was an acquaintance with the high priest, he's gone in with, went with Jesus to the high priest's courtyard. But Peter remained standing outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and he spoke to the girl who was at the door as the doorkeeper, and she brought Peter in, or he brought Peter in. And the slave girl who was at the door said to Peter, aren't you one of this man's disciples too? I am not, he said. Now the slaves in the temple police had made a charcoal fire pit because it was very cold, and they were standing there warming themselves. So Peter stood with them and he's warming himself. Now, Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, and then a group of them said, aren't you one of his disciples too? And he's, no, I'm not. One of the high priest's slaves, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, didn't I see you with him in the garden? And Peter then denied it again, and immediately the rooster crowed. So here he is. He's made it into the courtyard. And I want us to just to examine what is happening with Peter at this point, because he's following, but he's not. And so from looking at this passage, what do you see about his followership? Just talk to me about what you see about Peter. Is he where Jesus is at?
He's following behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not really with Jesus. He's behind him.
It's in a distance. Mm-hmm.
Distance is mm-hmm. a good word for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of seems like he's waiting for his opportunity. I mean, even with Jesus saying, you can't follow me now, but you can follow me later. You know, he's following at a distance. Like, okay, when is my time? When am I going to be able to follow him? Where's the test? I'm waiting. I'm ready. I'm here. And he doesn't realize that the test is right now in mm-hmm. the distance.
Mm.
It's almost yeah. like he's more curious than anything. Because he's looking to see what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's think about different times in the New Testament, the Gospels, where Peter's interacting, and it's Peter, James, and John, okay? Who's the one that's usually the one that's in the mix up front speaking, talking?
Impulsively.
Yeah,
it's Peter.
It's Peter. It's not John.
No.
Yet here in this circumstance, who's the person that's staying close?
John.
Yeah.
Interesting. There's a shift that's occurred. Something's happened where Peter's not acting in his norm.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why, other than the fact that there's a lesson that we're going to learn. The Lord tells us that he's going to end up denying him. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, on this night, Peter falters. And his sense of loyalty, maybe the brokenness that they've actually taken him. Adriana had a theory on this. Yeah. What was your theory?
Basically just that he's very confused as to what's going on, because he's expecting a Messiah to come in and kick the Romans out and rescue them and everything. And you even see that in how Peter then went and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant when he came to arrest Jesus. But instead, he's not looking for a spiritual Messiah. And so then he's standing here and he's like, wait, so I just got criticized for cutting off this guy's ear. What is Jesus doing now? He's under arrest, on trial, not defending himself. He just has no idea what's going on in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he's, at the same time, because of that confusion, he chooses not to necessarily trust that God knows what he's doing in this situation. And so that, I don't know, that's why I think at least that he was denying Jesus at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
It'd be very mobilizing too. Like, I mean, everything that he would have thought to do to support Christ has been taken from him. Those things that he would have normally fallen back on, he was criticized and reprimanded for. Like, no, you cannot fight in this way. No, you can't follow the way that you think you're going to follow. You have to learn to trust me the way that I need you to trust me, not the way that you think is the best. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for him.
Yeah. Do you think maybe he might be thinking about the fact that Jesus had told him he was going to deny him?
Mm. Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I think sometimes we get in those moments and so many factors can play in. I'm tired. Mm. I'm hungry. The circumstances aren't what I was anticipating. The people aren't acting the way I'm expecting them to act. And then all of a sudden I find myself, I don't know, I can shut down, you know, where I'm not thinking, I'm not interacting, I'm not reacting the way I should. And when that happens, I've discovered I don't speak when I should. You know?
I don't even, yeah.
And he's there to be sharing the good news. And here he's given how many opportunities to share about Jesus? How many times?
Three times.
Three. And all three times he doesn't. He clams up, he shuts down. And I'm just thinking, that is so easy for me to have happen in my life, you know, that I can allow my emotion mm-hmm. and the circumstances, that all that to come into play. One commentator said, actually it wasn't one, it was many, but they said that this is almost like, because the way it plays out, like if we were to do this in a movie scene, you're going to have the scene of Jesus going into the high courtyard, you're going to have the scene of Peter following. You're going to have the scene of Jesus being questioned. You're going to have the scene of Peter being questioned. You're mm-hmm. going to have the scene of Jesus responding. You're then going to have the scene of Peter's response. And you can see the scenes playing out. It actually provides us the comparison of what we should be like and what we shouldn't be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty powerful when you look at it. So if we take what we looked at last month, what do you remember? I know I'm asking everybody to engage their brain as Jesus was in before the courtyard. He's before Annas and Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. How did Jesus handle the circumstances? What was Jesus like?
He didn't speak, did he?
At one point, he didn't, but when he had to, he did.
Right.
When it would become disobedience.
When they're asking who he was.
Right.
Uh-huh.
He had to answer, and then he didn't deny his identity. Mm-hmm. But how did Jesus handle it? Was he...
He was calm and patient.
I was going to say composed.
Composed, calm, patient.
Humble. He's brave.
Humble.
You know, he wasn't afraid to tell the truth and to say what, you know, who he really was in front of people that he knew would kill him for it.
Right. Mm-hmm. He was brave. Yeah. Mm. Strong. Uh-huh. I wrote down, I was thinking, all right, he stood firm. Uh-huh. He didn't falter. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking through Ephesians, you know, where Paul later will tell us, you know, we need to stand firm in our faith. And then when we stand firm even more. I also put down what Sandy said, that he did remain silent to his accusers. He did not speak until he had to. He didn't feel that he had to defend himself or deny. He was just willing to just be. But when it was the right time, he was willing to acknowledge it. And then I had to pull this one in because this fits with Grace University's theme. He was all in. Right? I knew you guys would get it. At least the Grace peeps would get it. All right, let's describe Peter, though. Let's think of all the characteristics you can think of that you would describe Peter right now.
Headstrong.
Okay.
Confused, afraid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was going to say fear. Yeah.
Fear.
I'd say ashamed, even. You know, to have the one that you love tell you previously that, you know, no, you're going to deny me, and actually rebuke him for what he thought was love.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good.
Eager to prove himself, I think, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I have that he faltered.
I was going to say, because he didn't stand firm, where later in Scripture tells us to.
Right, So. I was trying to do the counters to...
Lesson learned.
The other. So where Jesus was silent, he denied, and he cursed. Mm-hmm. We don't see that in John. John is gracious. The commentators say he's gracious to Peter. He chooses not to record the cursing. Mm-hmm. And the commentator said that when a person would call down curses down like that, the goal was to prove their innocence.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually ends up happening is it shows their guilt.
Yeah.
Because it's justification.
Yep. And the anger.
Going back to what Catherine and I were saying on the other recording, you know, it's that. And then the other thing was, is that Jesus, because he was all in, Peter was not. He was distant.
Mm-hmm.
He was not where Jesus was. And so all along, he's come, follow me. And he has slept and ate and played a role. And now here, even though Jesus has told him, you can't go where I'm going, I don't know if it was necessarily disobedience, but I don't think it was also obedience. He's there, but he's not. And it's going back to that curiosity, that discouragement, the fear that's happening. And so, Catherine?
Which is, I just think it's, I don't know if you'd say funny or ironic, but that his response to Jesus in the beginning was like, no, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going to be all in. I'm not going to be scared. I'm going to be obedient. And then during the test, it was like he did the opposite of everything that he said or he thought he would be able to do.
This passage just makes me think of the phrase, you know, he is faithful, little will be faithful with much. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Peter, I'm sure, you know, he's right outside the court. He's looking at Jesus' trial. Like, Jesus is on trial. And so when Jesus says, you're going to deny me, the context that Peter would be thinking of is, okay, there's a trial there. I'm going to go and I'm going to give testimony and I'm not going to deny him. Right there is the trial and I'm ready. I'm going to do it. And then the trial happens outside. And, you know, it's like a politician or a movie star or somebody that's like, well, I'll just tell a few little white lies here so that I can, you know, get some influence. And then once I have influence, then I will show people the truth and I will give them... You know, I will give them the best, and I will be a person of integrity to lead. And you can't be a person of integrity, you can't get to that point with lies and with dishonesty and disintegrity to get there. You have to be faithful even in the process of getting there, because otherwise you'll never get to that point of influence. Or by the time you do get there, it won't matter. So if Peter would have, you know, used those little denials to get into the court, it doesn't matter what he says in the court because he's already denied Christ in the small. And so what you do in the little matters and what you do in the big.
That's huge.
Just like the denial, you know, the lies, like you say, you know, if you do one lie, then you're covering up with another lie. The lies have to get
you never
more
get to
lies,
the point
I guess,
to
right. Yeah. Right. And he's got stronger in denial.
It's crazy. The moment happens and a person can have integrity
and still
falter.
Absolutely.
It can happen. And that's the crazy part of it is that this is God revealing to him the next thing he needs to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is an issue of, okay, yes, you will. Not yet, because I still have one more thing we need to get dealt with inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what can happen is that when that revelation comes to us, it hurts so bad that I've messed up, that sometimes we can beat ourselves up and not allow ourselves to get past and recognize that the Lord told him it's going to happen. Satan's asked to sift you. I've prayed for you. And then he gives him things that he needs to be doing. And I wrote down when he's like, where are you going? It's like, Satan's asked to sift you. I have prayed for you. When you turn back, strengthen your brothers. There's four things there that are critical that we need to understand. And so it's going to happen. We need to know Jesus is praying and that we will turn back. We need to turn back. And then when we do, then go and get the others and bring them along. But I think we get so caught up in the fact that we've done the denial that we forget that we're supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or we get so caught up in the denial, we're not willing to have somebody take us and help us to turn back, you know, when somebody wants to help us. And so helping us think through those things as we're watching those around us that are in moments of testing and where they're faltering in their loyalty to the Lord, instead of going in and judging them or going in and allowing them to justify themselves, we need to be praying about how we can help them turn back and then find ways to strengthen them. So we're going to open with next time, so you need to come back. We're going to just discuss some ways that we can help strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.